Welcome to today's session, Optimizing Operations. So if you were in my first session where we talked about hiring that eventual, you know, that rockstar right hand, potentially eventually growing into the version of Kathy that we have in our firm, which is, again, air traffic control, oil to the engine, master plate spinner, put whatever different, like, the person managing your firm, right? Regardless of where they're at, you also heard me say in that presentation that there's three different platforms or three different areas, if you will, of a business that can be worked on. The people versions, what we were talking about there. But then the other two are process and platforms. And what we're going to talk about here today, briefly, what I'm going to share with you about how we're doing things in our firm, as well as where you're seeing other advisory firms. You know, it's Stanley Cup Finals time right now, to quote a hockey quote from the legend Wayne Gretzky, right? How do we go where the puck is going to be as opposed to where it is, or certainly where it's been? Because the one thing that we know about the wealth management space is that inertia is an incredibly powerful force. Even bad advisors, quote unquote, from a service standpoint and a value standpoint, have a decent amount of client retention rates. And so it's really incumbent upon you as the advisor to make that concerted effort to change the way in which you're delivering the client experience, right? I can't remember the author's name of the book. It's two authors, but they wrote The Experience Economy. And there's a phrase that they talk about, or a concept that they talk about in The Experience Economy, that providing great client or customer service is saving someone time. Time well spent is providing a great client or customer experience. And the idea of optimizing operations is meant to, yes, make you efficient and create a hyper-efficient firm, but not at the cost, but rather in service of, or at the benefit of, providing, hopefully, an even better client experience, as well as improved client service, right? So having the client time with you being well spent, even better than what it is, as well as saving them time. So as you look at what we're going to talk about here today, put the decision-making, or the decision-making matrix that you're using, should be put through the filter of those two things, right? Am I saving my client's time? Is this going to be a time saver for my clients and thus my team, which is providing great client service? And, or is it going to be providing a great client experience, such that the time that they are spending with me is time well spent? So those are two different lenses, if you will, that you can look at what we're talking about as it pertains to optimizing the operations to build that hyper-efficient firm. Usually you would think that being hyper-efficient is also going to make the client experience and service better, but not always. So again, we want to be mindful of that. So again, Steph hit on this in the very beginning, where this idea of client service and what we've done in client services certainly gone through a radical change. I mean, certainly since I've been an advisor for the past 15 years, and even more so, it just seems to be amplified more and more and more. And so the modernization of that is certainly important. But as Steph also mentioned, right, we're not necessarily seeing fee compression, but rather we're seeing service compression. So we're being asked to do more. Maybe, yes, you can increase your fees. And we've had, obviously, you know, we've had those conversations already here in Limitless, but rather than what are you doing on the service side to provide that type of client experience that is essentially worth the fee that you're going to be creating. So like I mentioned, it's about making sure that we're, I had two cursors showing up on my screen at once, and there was a little bit of a glitch. It was kind of messing my brain a little bit. No sizzle, all steak, big hat, no cattle. There's a couple of different metaphors that we could use here in this situation. My point with this is that we want to make sure that what you're doing is actually having value and impact on the client experience, and that you're not just doing something, you're not just spending money just because it was a shiny object that caught your eye. We certainly want to make sure that it's doing something to better that client experience. This is, again, as we look at how technology has been changing and impacting the work that we do, it's actually very interesting, and weird is a way that is a word that comes to my mind when you look at just what the growth of AI has been able to do in the last 6 months, of the type of focus work that we've spent time doing, whether, I mean, the laundry list of things that I can rattle off that chat has helped me do that otherwise would have required my time, as well as outsourced people that I've contracted to help build projects. When I say chat, ChatGPT, right, is pretty incredible. And that's only going to continue to get better. But it also emphasizes even more so the importance of making sure that we're continually focused on the work that we do for our clients. Because at the end of the day, hopefully, we're not eating these words, that there is no replacement for another human being. And so I'm just pulling up chat here. Ah, yes, Rosario, thank you. Joe Pine and Jim Gilmore were the authors of The Experience Economy. And yes, DMW, Dennis Mosley Williams, does some great thinking and writing around this. Josh, that's where I first heard that phrase. I still remember where I was on a long run when I was listening to DMW, Dennis Mosley Williams, conversation with Kitsis on Kitsis podcast. That's where I first heard that. And that was the iteration of Niche, Niche, Weird. And what was the catalyst for me to start going deeper in the optometry space. So that's a really, really good interview. Just a plug for that episode. I don't remember what episode it was. It was probably somewhere 2018. So do the math and kind of work your way back through the Kitsis episodes. But that was a really good conversation as it pertains to experience, service, the difference between those two, and what advisors can think of as it pertains to delivering that client experience. Dennis admittedly is a little short on the actual implementation and the operations of that, but that's our work as firm owners to decide what can we do to be able to, thank you, Christian, episode 114. See, collaborative approach, team approach. I love this crowdsourcing of information here. All right, back to regularly scheduled programming here. Again, we all know it was an analog world before. This is a snapshot of the logos that are making up the tech stack that we use in our firm. And by all means, this is not all inclusive. So I've made a very concerted effort to figure out ways in which we can automate this process. I said it again, I'm trying not to be too redundant if you've been in every one of my sessions, but they are also, I think, important enough to say again and again. One of my favorite Ferrisisms, Tim Ferriss, is never delegate something that you can automate, and never automate something that you should eliminate. And so it's incumbent upon us as firm owners to periodically take inventory of the way in which we are doing things in our firm. This is what we do for our strategic planning retreat every single year. The first week in December, this is the first year. Side note to this, I think in my previous session, someone asked about building, you know, how do you build firm culture in a virtual team? How do you maintain that sense of team and friendship and collaboration, you know, that we're not just worker bees doing this factory work for clients, but that we actually have a chemistry and rapport and culture in the firm. We are doing our strategic planning retreat at the Biltmore in December. So we're going to start traveling around to different areas around the country to do our strategic retreat. One of the things that we do, I've got a whole template, and I believe this template is in the library. If you want to look at our strategic planning template, which is essentially formulating our business plan for the next year, one of the things that we do is we just go through with a fine-tooth comb the way in which we do things in the firm and ask ourselves, why do we do it this way? And if the only reason that we have is to, well, that's the way we've always done it, okay, that's not a good enough answer. We have to go through and at least determine whether or not there is a better way to do it. Or if we do that, that we're actually executing on it in a way that is literally the best that there is. So again, this is the tech that we use right now. It's not the same tech that we were using 3 years ago. So it is an evolution and what's the only thing that's constant in firm ownership is change. Having said that, I will say that you have to be very careful in how you implement that change with your team, because not everybody may be as open to that change as you are. So the worst thing that you can do from a change standpoint, Kathy and I have this little joke that whenever I go away for a conference, she gets a little nervous because I'll come back with all these great ideas. And I'm like, no, we're going to talk about these. I've got a lot of parking lot places for these items, for these areas to go, but we will systematically just work our way through that idea list, because you have to be sensitive to the team that you have in place and the work that would be involved on their end if you're thinking about making some of these changes, technology being one of them. And Kitsis has done a great job of certainly creating this ever-growing and ever-condensed tech map to show where everything is. The bottom one, I'm not sure whose sample that is. I see Wealth I'm trying to zoom down. This is someone's TechMap, kind of the inset there, but Kitsis has his financial advisor TechMap solution. It's a double-edged sword, right? Having all of these different ideas out there. Again, I just really want to emphasize the importance of putting them through the filter and first asking yourself the question, what are you solving for, right? Three consecutive questions that you can ask in every aspect of your business, this being one of them when you're looking at technology. What am I solving for, in service of what, and at the cost of what, right? Ask those three questions. Be clear about the answers to those questions, because the answer to those questions can help guide, if any, and if so, which technology platforms, which tools, which partners, which vendors you decide to partner with. So if you're clear on those answers, it can help make the decision-making process a little bit easier and just understand. One of my favorite metaphors to use in all aspects of life, planning and business included, is the juice going to be worth the squeeze? So again, we've all seen the evolution of this, the old way of doing it. I would say, as I'm running through this, the table stakes, like if you're still doing manual data entry on almost any of these side, like there needs to be a serious evolution and pivot in your firm. Scheduling the old way, like you should be using some type of online scheduling software. That should be table stakes for now. Time tracking, admittedly, is a little bit more of a gray area. I think some firms are doing that very well. Some firms are not. We're somewhere in the middle of that. As far as how we work, the other one that's on here that isn't mentioned, Harvest Timely Toggle, I believe is another tool that was mentioned in a previous session. TOGGL is another time tracking tool that you could look to use. Communication campaigns, whether it's simple as ConvertKit, or you start getting into the next layers of, or the additional horsepower of ActiveCampaign, Marketo. I doubt that any advisor on this call or in Limitless has a firm that needs the horsepower behind something like HubSpot. Maybe you do, but HubSpot is no small lift for anybody involved. And again, if you are, great, but my point is you don't need to be that involved from a communication standpoint. CRM, you have to have your CRM, you have to have your client relationship management system. That's where everything should live. Your service model, again, all of this should be documented. So my point is there is a process in which you can move from the manual to the modern. It's not easy and it doesn't happen overnight. And it's not, dare I say, the sexy part of this business. But it is the part that allows you to get out from underneath everything that's going on and allow for the transfer of knowledge from yourself over to the team that ultimately allows you to serve your clients well. The challenge, like I said, coming back to your team is, if you have these ideas, this is not a dictatorship, or it should not be a dictatorship. It should not be just you barging into your team meetings like, well, this is what we're doing. Like it's your responsibility to bring these ideas and talk with your team about what are some of the hesitations, limitations, what are some of the advantages, what are some of the benefits of doing something like this. Yes, ultimately, is it your decision as a firm owner? Yeah, it is. But it should not be done in a vacuum, and it should not be done without your team input, especially if they're the ones that are going to be responsible for the implementation and ongoing management of that type of system or of that piece of technology. So again, this is where you're sharing the motivation, the purpose, the why of what you're doing should come before the how or the what that we're doing. Setting expectations around whatever that timeline looks like from an implementation standpoint. Our goal, if we're shifting custodians, is to have X percentage of assets moved over by Y date. Again, how are you tracking that? This is where workflows, checklists, templates come into play. And then just as you have your normal team meetings, the accountability that happens. Which again, like we had said, what am I solving for? Is there a better way? Will it change my life? Make sure that we're evaluating and asking the right questions before we're just jumping into some type of new process. Start with your goal, get really clear as to why, is this going to be worth it? Challenge the status quo. Is there an improvement on the existing system that you could make as opposed to blowing it up and starting from scratch? Excuse me. Maybe it doesn't require a custodial change, but a different way, a different piece of technology that you're using in concert or in relationship with your custodian. Maybe it's not changing financial planning softwares, but just reevaluating the deliverables that you have for your clients. Do you need to do all the things that you were doing in your financial planning software? Do you really need to do this beautified one page financial plan that some softwares are coming out, or can you make do essentially, or change the way in which you're delivering and not have to shift your entire financial planning software portfolio. Again, you can go down the list. Gary, you bring up a great point in chat. One thing that I don't think gets mentioned enough is a central piece of that tech. I make sure my CRM is the hub of everything. Integrations are key to any new tech. Exactly. Double data entry defeats the purpose, right? One of the things that admittedly with Redtail is nice, but it's also, you've got to do your due diligence into it and say, oh, we've got integrations for everything. And you're right. They do have a lot of integrations there. But some of it is very, very superficial. Some of it is just, hey, name, rank, and serial number. It just sends over the name, address, and phone number. And maybe that's enough. Maybe that's all you need. But again, just make sure that you have what is that central hub. I would 100% agree with Garrett that your CRM should be the central hub of everything that you do. The more data that you can have to flow either uni or bilaterally from those platforms, from your CRM, reduces, again, the amount of data entry. We've been kicking the tires on Altruist as a platform, and I'm not sure that it's going to make sense just because of, A, they don't integrate with Redtail. We've been told that's supposedly going to happen. We're not sure exactly when. But there are some limitations as far as what we have to do even once the account is opened up. So yes, the account opening process with a platform like Altruist is awesome. But there are other things that we're looking at that's like, okay, well, are we really saving that time based off of what we do for our clients and the process and the relationship and the value that we're providing? Is that going to serve us well and serve the client well? So again, just take yourself through that process and ask yourself, if you are in a solo environment where you don't have a team, this is the importance of having a mastermind group to run these ideas by and share. This is what we're thinking about doing. That's part of the value of your mastermind group, is to put you essentially on that hot seat and ask you these type of challenging questions and get under the hood of your business a little bit more to help you see the blind spots that maybe you didn't see. That's the benefit of having a mastermind or some other trusted advisor, trusted network of colleagues. Limitless, right? Ask those questions, because sometimes it can be difficult to, like I said, see those blind spots in your firm. Let's see. Again, just as a public service announcement, housekeeping task as we're going through this, if you do have questions, you can put them in the chat in the Cvent area. I see we have a couple of questions getting in there. Awesome. Yep, we've got a couple of questions. I'll make sure to get through those before we get through the content here today. Already talked about this. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. Identify the problem, standardize it, making sure that you're documenting, just work it out in long form. One of the best ways that we started working on our workflows was a dry erase board and some post-it notes. We would use the post-it note and we would just write out, okay, how do we open an account? Here are all the steps. Each step was its own post-it note. Then go up under the whiteboard and start moving post-it notes around to say, all right, yep, here, the step goes here, then this one goes here, then this one goes here. All right, now we got the steps laid out. What are the different outcomes that can happen from each one of these steps? Oh, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. Okay, then where does it work? Like, it can start in a very analog way, but the goal is to then institutionalize that knowledge in some type of system that is ultimately going to allow you as the advisor, as the brain, to get that out of yourself and into a knowledge system that is able to be utilized by the growing team, whether that's just going and adding one team member, or you have aspirations on growing and growing a small enterprise or a big enterprise, whatever your goal is. Again, the goal here, to quote Dan Sullivan, is to eventually get to the point of having a self-managing business. The only way that you can do that is if you identify, standardize, and systematize the processes within your firm. So again, we know the who, not how. There's different ways in which you can do this. You could go all the way to doing it yourself. Like, on one end of the spectrum, you do it yourself and you're the one that's carving off time in your calendar every single week, which again, all of the things that we talk about here in Limitless and that we talk about here today, the action items that you take out of these conversations and out of these presentations, the next best step is you have to block the time in your calendar to figure out when you're going to work on it. Because in the absence of doing that, all these ideas just float in your mind and you'll never actually prioritize that time. So show me your calendar and I'll show you your priorities. If you are going to be owning this and doing it yourself, block that time on the calendar to do that. If you're going to do a hybrid approach, whether it's, you know, purchasing our workflows and using those, or buying other solutions, or you're going to do the full outsource and hire someone like Jennifer Goldman and her basically RIA ops package, to have her essentially, literally or figuratively, parachute into your firm and build out your entire operations. Again, there's a flavor for everybody here. You just have to determine what's more valuable to you in your place and your practice right now, time or money. Again, with one, you can make more of the other. Where to start? Like I said, map your current systems in your tech. Make sure that you that all finds its way onto your one-page business plan, and then work the process from there. Again, I don't mean to distill it down to something as simple as it is, but that's really where it is. That's really what it comes down to, is just identifying the problem, identifying the gap, identifying the bottleneck in your firm, asking yourself, what would success look like? What is the ideal outcome of this problem, of this challenge look like? And then block the time to accomplish that. That's essentially, it goes back to what I said, what gets managed gets measured, and what's measured gets improved. So the only way to start that process is to make sure that you find time on your calendar to begin working on that process, to map out, use the templates that we have in Limitless here to give you some ideas of what exists from a tech stack standpoint. Excuse me, go out to Kitsis website and look at the tech map, the heat map, if you will, that he has set up. Rely on your mastermind group. Get onto Twitter and look at FinTwit and what some of the other advisors are using to deliver tech. There's a lot of different ways in which you can start doing your research about how you can evaluate and prioritize those improvements. But again, it all starts with just having that plan and starting from somewhere. Yes, you need a systems for your systems. This is where we use Asana as our project guide, right? So who's responsible for doing what, when does it need to get done, and for which client? That's all in our CRM. From a project standpoint, all of that happens in Asana. Again, a sample of our tech stack that we have right here. This is, and again, this is changing. Full disclosure, we're no longer using Gravity Forms. My tech partner that we're using, Will Now, Greg Will Now and his team, which have done a phenomenal job with our, not only our website, but also some of the analytics and the marketing side of things. They've replaced it with something. We're still built on WordPress, but they're using something else that has been really, really good, really, really cool. Everything else on here is pretty status quo. Screenshot this, go ahead and use it. Again, this is what's worked for us. And again, like I mentioned, everything comes down to workflows. The idea here is that it's written in a way that someone can come in from your firm and know how to do it. The joke in our firm is when Kathy took time off, I had to figure out how to do a direct deposit on a check that we received from a client. And it took me a half hour to do it, and she probably would have done it in about 5 minutes. But the point is, even though it took me a lot longer, I still had the system in place. I could still read through the scripting of what needs to be done. Whether you're using Word and you're just typing out the process, or you're utilizing that in workflow, which is what we use, or we're using Loom as a way to just screen capture and screen share what it is that we're doing, and then pasting the link to that Loom video in the workflow step, so that, hey, when Kate comes on board, our new hire that's starting this week, when she comes on board and we want her to know how to do something, she can just click the link to the Loom video that's in the workflow step, and right there is her training process. Those two tools in and of themselves, your CRM and utilizing Loom, is a great way to begin building your ops. You're not going to do this overnight. It's not going to be done in a week or a month or even 6 months. But just chiseling away at it is what gives you that opportunity to, again, you've heard me say it a number of times, to institutionalize the knowledge that you have in the way in which you do your firm. Again, this is a ready, fire, aim approach. This is something where you execute on the vision, on the intention that you have, and you measure progress. And then you realign, you re-engage, ready, fire, right, execute, and then evaluate. So it's not perfection. It's not going to be perfect on the first time. Just ask yourself the question, what needs to be done differently in order to solve for that? Again, we've got resources within Limitless, within the library there. I want to make sure that I have that we have a couple of questions here that I get, that I have time to go through all of those. Oh, I got a little ahead of myself a little bit here. Let me make sure that I get through questions here. So starting from the bottom, how do you keep up with new tech software without getting distracted by the shiny new toy? I have heard of more new tech here in Limitless than anywhere else. Good question, Paul. Kind of like the news. I don't look for it unless I have a problem or unless I'm needing to get information. So it kind of comes down to one of those periodic things that we'll look at. I won't look for a tech solution unless we've identified a problem. So many times I think advisors buy tech looking for a problem, when it should be the other way around. Identify the problem and then find tech as a solution to that problem. So kind of back to what I mentioned earlier, take inventory of the way in which you're doing things and ask yourself, is there a better mousetrap that's built out there that can save me time while at the same time providing a better client experience, right? Client better experience and client service. If you can, what am I solving for in service of what and at the cost of what? So if you start with what am I solving for, that can be the guide to help you figure out what is the next piece, what kind of tech can I use for doing that? As far as where to find that tech, again, I go back to the Kitsis heat map. That's a good starting point. Ask advisors in Limitless what we're using, other cohorts, LinkedIn. There's, you post questions out there, FinTwit on Twitter, depending on where you compartmentalize some of your social media time. There's a couple of places that you can look. Let's see, thoughts about managing client. I'm just not sure which order they're going in here, but someone's approving them. Thoughts about managing client tasks and firm project tasks in separate systems. I've struggled having different types of tasks in different systems. So Sarah, good question. We just drew the line that if it's client service related, it's in the business, it's in Redtail. If it's on the business, it's in Asana. The reason we do that is because we have probably half a dozen different vendors that I work with on client or on project firm related issues that are not client specific. And I don't want those individuals having access to client data. So that's why we keep Asana for that, because it's easy to add third-party contractors via an email address to a specific project. And then when they're done, I can kick them out and just do it easy that way. So that's why I like having two separate systems. And then everything that is client-related is directly inside of Redtail in the CRM. So hopefully that answers your question a little bit more.
Hey Adam, what about the tasks that clients themselves need to complete and therefore need to be incessantly reminded of?
Everything goes in e-money. As of now, our current status is everything goes in e-money. We have thought about using something like Nudge, KNUDGE, Dave and Sean, the founders of that company. Well, they've done a phenomenal job with that. We currently just use e-money. I've thought about doing Asana boards and things like that. I know, talk to 10 different advisors, get 11 different theories and opinions on how impactful it is. What I think we have found with eMoney is the same thing would be applicable if we use Asana, Trello, Monday, Clickit. You'll have some clients that love it and you have other clients that it doesn't matter what platform you use, they're just not going to play ball. And so we track that in. So for us, we've made the decision that eMoney, as of now, serves as that parking lot for the client tasks. And then as we're providing client service, as we're doing client updates, we can go in there and use that as a follow-up to determine, have they made progress on it? Do we need to follow up? Do they need help with anything, et cetera? So do you use ShareFile as a solution for clients to upload documents? Yes, that is the only solution that we use. Can a toolbar be added to a website for client access? Kevin, I'm not sure what you mean by a toolbar. We do have a client login or a client corner, if you will, on our website where when clients, I think we do. Yeah, client login. I'm like, I think we do. Secure file transfer. If you go to integratedpwm.com, client login, secure file transfer, that takes you directly to our ShareFile. We have a dedicated clients user for ShareFile so that clients don't send files to me. Clients don't send files to John. They don't send files to Kathy. They send files to clients, like one user in ShareFile that is clients. And we all see that information. We all have access to that user. That ensures that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing in the firm so that a client doesn't send something that Kathy's waiting, but they send the email to John's inbox. And now Kathy can't get it because it's sitting in John's ShareFile folder. So clients, that's again, one of the many, 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 many benefits of utilizing a client central inbox for email communications, because the benefit of doing that is you now have a username, clientservice@firmname or clients@firmname that can be the username for ShareFile and for Acuity and for, I don't know, half a dozen other pieces of tech that we use that we all as user, as firm owners, as firm team members, we all have access to that username. Let's see here. Have you added anything to a tech stack in the past year outside of ChatGPT? Shoot, I just realized that we're over on time, aren't we?
You're okay, Autumn. We have lunch now, so
okay.
You can answer these questions.
Okay. Have you added anything to your tech stack in the past year outside of ChatGPT to help with either the customer experience or firm efficiency? JotForm is something that we've used because of its security to help gather some information so that Kathy can seamlessly populate financial plan engagements. And like, we combined our financial plan engagement and investment management agreement into one document. And so we use JotForm as a way to help gather that information also for our beginning of the year goal setting and mid-year client goal review appointment. We built JotForm to help systematically gather some of that data by sending out JotForm links to clients. I'm toying and looking at using Fireflies as an auto note taker. I've seen a couple of Fathom participants here in Limitless. So it seems like some other people are using some note taking services within their Zoom as a way to gather and organize conversations from Zoom. Fireflies has similar capabilities. It's way too early for me to give an opinion or a verdict on the efficiency on that end. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we are using. Scrolling through my other monitor here. I think that's it. Not really. We haven't changed a whole lot. Please explain how you use Asana or Trello. How does it save time and add value? Well, Kevin, as far as adding value, it's nothing client-facing. It's a way for us to collaborate independently. So, like, I manage the 2020 Money podcast in Asana. Once I'm done recording an episode and I ping my producer and I assign the due date of that episode, I never touch that episode again. So he now knows, by virtue of the due date and the order of the episodes that I've dragged, where the episode, when it gets released, and the show notes are in there and everything like that. Same thing from a content standpoint. It's where I organize my thoughts for writing our Plan Life on Purpose newsletter that I send out on a monthly basis. So I've got different sections for the different sections of the newsletter in Asana. So I don't know that it necessarily, I mean, yeah, I'm sure it does save me time. If anything, it saves me sanity. It gives me a place to dump all my ideas, because in the absence of that, if you have to keep all that in your head, like, that's an incredibly inefficient use and stressful way to try and keep all your information straight. So Asana, your CRM, it's what allows me the peace of mind to know that I don't have to remember everything. It just goes into a system, and then I can tag very easily the next person that's going to be working on that project, whether it's someone on my team or my podcast producer or my website designer or my virtual assistant in the Philippines that's working on a couple of projects for me right now. Like, that's the knowledge transfer that exists when you're using a tool like Asana or Trello to outsource that. So did that answer your question, or is there, if you have any additional thought questions behind that, feel free to unmute and ask.
No, I think so. I've heard of it, but I've never understood exactly what it does. And so just wanted to get to where the value to the practices.
Yeah, it's project management tool. It gets everything out of here and allows you to get that information down to the team.
Thank you.
Yep. John, as a follow-up to my last question, is there anything you removed from your tech stack in the past year that you realized wasn't adding value? Ooh, good question. I don't think so. I'm trying to think of our... I don't think so. I think it's been pretty dialed in for a while, which I like, but I don't like, because I'm like, oh, what could we be doing better? Right. Which is why we're looking at things like Fireflies as a way to better capture and save time, right? If we can get that to a point and systematize the process, change the system away a little bit more so that we can get rid of dictation, where we have to, if there's anybody on here from Mobile Assistant, my apologies, but changing landscape is, if we don't have to pick up our phone and dictate and then wait for a dictation and spend that time doing it, if Fireflies can do that for us and create a summary, Fred is the moniker, the avatar inside of Fireflies that is the ChatGPT integration. So whenever a note comes in from Fireflies, I can ask Fred, Fred, please provide me a meeting summary of this meeting along with all action items from everybody that was in attendance. And I type that, right? And of course, you know me, that'll soon be a text expander because why type the same thing over and over again? I can use a text expander to do it. And so when that happens, then in about 30 seconds, I get the meeting summary. So what we're testing is Firefly is going to be smart enough to not miss any action items? So we're working on a way in which we can kind of, how do we quality assurance, how do we QAQC that process in a relatively time efficient manner? Stay tuned. I'll let you know. let's see. I've been trying to keep an eye on chat, and I think there's been a couple of questions.
Jeff has a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
So Adam, you had talked for a little while about dumping your full planning software and swapping over to Elements. Where are you at on that?
Love Elements. It wasn't ready for main time or for mainstream. So we are making that as an offering inside of the 2020 Money membership. So Elements, to their credit, says it's not financial planning software, it's financial monitoring software. Semantics, I don't know, marketing. but what we found is that maybe we were wrong in this, but it's the decision that we made at this point is that there's still value in the work and the value. And I think maybe you can take a victory lap here, Jeff, because this was maybe a point of discussion that we had when I first made that announcement that we found that we were missing some value in the actual nuts and bolts and or the actual IP that, what am I trying to say? The data that traditional financial planning software can compute and present to us, more so us, not necessarily to the client, but more so to us, was missing. And so we're looking at Elements as essentially we're branding it Copilot in, it's either Copilot or Guided Independence. I'm not sure which branding we're going to go with inside of the 2020 Money membership. But if you want the Guided Independence / Copilot relationship, you'll get access to the Elements monitoring app as part of your membership in 2020.
Yeah, I think, and that's kind of where I ended on it too, was like, I wasn't ready to let go of that crutch of the full planning software, but I'm interested in it, even though I do see like a couple of drawbacks and how they calculate some stuff, but so thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And the last point that we found as we got into it a little bit more was kind of back to the question about task management and follow-up. Like that was, while it's clunky and it's certainly not perfect, that was an important piece of utilizing e-money. Was putting notes that, you know, this is what we ask the client to do. This is what they're going to work on. Whether we're the one crossing it off down the line or the client is the one crossing it off down the line, we want some place for client follow-up tasks to live. And eMoney didn't, or Elements doesn't have that at all right now. So that meant, okay, so are we going to do Asana and build out client boards? Or are we going to do Nudge and add another piece of tech? And it's like, screw it. We'll just work with what we have right now.
Okay, Adam, Michelle has a question and then Rosario, and then we'll probably wrap after those two unless you see any I missed.
Sounds good.
And I raised my hand for Matthew's question on the security of Otter and Fireflies and all these. How do you get comfortable with using those?
So Otter, and this is a credit to Tiffany and Jared, they started to do a lot of due diligence and Otter wasn't willing to answer their very basic questions about how they protect client information and the aggregation of that data. So that did not meet their test. So that's why we're not using Otter either. Fireflies has been pretty transparent in that. The way I look at it, and maybe this is the wrong way to think about it, we're using dictation software already with Mobile Assistant. We've been using that for years. It's another human being listening to notes that we're dictating about clients and that information. I don't know why. I just, the data's out there. The notes and the information that we're taking is, I don't know why I feel better about a bot getting it than hearing it. It's not that I don't feel comfortable with Mobile Assistant taking those notes. I mean, we've been using them for, geez, the better part of 4 years. But the data's in Redtail, the data's in Orion, the data's in TD, the data's in like the incredible digital footprint that everybody already has. Maybe this is just me surrendering and waving the white flag, but nothing's private. So yeah, maybe not the best thing to say, but to the extent that we've been able to go through the security policy with Fireflies, it checks a little bit of a better box than what Otter than what Otter was. All right, was there one more?
Yes, let's see, Rosario had one. Rosario and Darren. Okay, you answered how do you something about hiring a virtual assistant overseas? And then Darren, how to use Evernote compared to Asana?
What was the part about virtual assistant overseas?
Oh, I'm assuming there's a word missing. Maybe how do you feel about hiring a virtual assistant overseas?
Great.
How do you go about it? Especially about, security, all that stuff.
They're not working on anything client related. It's all in the firm. So one of the last projects that they were working on, there's some legislation that's floating around different state legislatures. There's some legislation floating around different state legislatures around optometrists being able to practice the full scope of their license and whether they can even call themselves doctors. It just got shot down in Florida. So I had her go and research which states are doing that work and find me the bill numbers and the contact information for each different legislature and build me an email campaign. Now she, I don't know if she did or if I used chat to build the email campaign, but she got all the information. It's things like that I'm using her for. It's nothing client related.
And how do you find somebody? How do you find somebody that is will understand what we do?
Well, she didn't need to know what we do for something like that. So that's a very clear. I'll give a tool outside of Limitless that has been phenomenal as it pertains to outlining the scope of work that you're doing for a project and then hiring the person for that project. It's Dan Sullivan, founder of Strategic Coach. Just go to Strategic Coach and download the Impact Filter. The Impact Filter, I keep a copy of them right here. They are standard operating procedure for me. Anything that I have that I need to get down on paper and create the scope of work, I can do an Impact Filter in 15 minutes. And that gives whoever I'm hiring, whoever I'm outsourcing that to, a great, great visualization of what I'm solving for, how I define success, resources to use, what the ideal outcome is, why we're doing this, the worst result, et cetera. So yeah, as it pertains to that specific person that I'm using over in the Philippines, it's very easy. Like they don't need to know the financial service business. It's incumbent upon me to do a good job of delegating the project and how I define success in the project. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. And okay. So you mentioned Dan Sullivan, and this is a process?
Dan Sullivan created something called the Impact Filter. It's one of his tools that he uses inside of Strategic Coach. He's very protective about his IP, so I want to make sure, especially on a recorded line, that I'm giving full faith and credit. And it is his tool, property of Strategic Coach. But the only way that you can get that is by going to the Strategic Coach website and downloading it from there. That is not something that we can put inside of Limitless Library. That's not something that we will email out to you. That is exclusive content of Strategic Coach. Let's see here.
Okay. Let's just answer Kevin's real quick. Dictating into Word, what am I missing not using a dictation service?
Probably nothing.
And we'll wrap up.
Probably nothing. In all honesty, it's been a while since we've used a dictation service like Word to try and. Oop. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
My AirPods have been going all day, and I'm at that point of cycling back and forth between left and right. So, let me make sure that I still have a charge. There we go. Okay, Word. Not being able to, like in the beginning when I was doing that, I would find that we were spending just as much time cleaning up a dictation. Like I would dictate it and then have to spend time cleaning up the Word document. And I didn't want to do that. I'd rather just dictate it and have someone else make sure that 401k was done correctly or that, the different financial verbiage and nomenclature that we use, that Word would actually understand that. So maybe that dictation has come a long way since then. As it relates to what we have now with AI, I like the idea of not just utilizing notes, but being able to summarize and create very succinct action items based off of those notes. So it's going to be a long process to figure out how we can use the combination of chat and something like Fireflies, whether it's Fireflies or some other substitute or some other, because in an ideal situation, and this is where integrations and having someone that understands integrations work, in an ideal situation with the technology that exists, you would have meeting notes automatically be summarized after a client conversation by something like chat integrated with Fireflies, then through Zapier, automatically connect that client appointment that was booked through Acuity, which has a specific account appointment ID, where an action item came in as a result of that appointment, which was connected to a client contact record, then you would have the action items created as tasks within the CRM, that entire loop would close. Is it possible? Yes. How accurate is the data going to be? Stay tuned. That's what we're solving for. Because now that removes Kathy from having to wait for notes, that removes John from having to dictate notes, that removes Kathy from having to clean up notes and have action items go into the CRM, where now as a team, Kathy, John, Kate, they can just do the work instead of having to gather the data and do the and get the tasks into the CRM. If the tasks automatically showed up, that's the end goal that we're solving.